We're doing the Ein Yaakov on Shabbos. We're up to Daf Yud Beis in the Gemara. In the standard editions, it's Hey Amit Beis. V'amar Rabbi Chanina taught, Bekoshi tu l'nechem avlim v'levakei cholim b'Shabbat. We have two great mitzvos. Comforting a person in mourning and visiting the sick to see what they need. And these are two mitzvot that really there are two sides to the mitzvah. On the one end, the mitzvah has a great impact on the recipient, because a person's lying ill in bed and someone comes and sees what he needs and brings him a warm meal and sits and talks to them. That's a big deal. Chazal tell us that Bikur Cholim is so great. Rabbi Akiva once had a disciple who was lying in bed dying. And Rabbi Akiva asked the students, where's this guy? And no one seemed to know. So Rabbi Akiva himself went to visit the guy, and he comes into the house. And he sees there's mold on the wall. And he sees that the house is all dreary. And no one's aired out the house. And the poor guy is withering away in bed. Rabbi Akiva summons people. And he has the house cleaned and aired out. And the sheets changed. And the house is given a better aroma. And things are taken care of. And suddenly the guy gets better in no time. When Rabbi Akiva saw that, he said, you know, Bikur Cholim is such a mitzvah, people don't realize it. You're saving a person's life when you do Bikur Cholim. By coming to visit, you can save his life. And people don't realize part of our job in Bikur Cholim is to make the place nice. Bring a perfume. If it's in the house, you could bring a flower. I very often bring balloons and I bring scotch tape and I decorate the whole place. So the guy suddenly has a smiley face wherever he goes. I try to get the kids to make smiley stuff and paint things. And suddenly a person's lying in a hospital bed and the hospital bed looks different. All around him he has goofy stuff. So it feels different. That's our job. Tear out the place to see if we can do something to make the person's bedding a little bit more comfortable, their seats more comfortable. Bikur Cholim means checking out what the sick person needs. So Bikur Cholim is a huge mitzvah. But Bikur Cholim, there's another aspect to Bikur Cholim. You know, before I came here tonight, I was on the phone with someone ill at 8 o'clock tonight. I got off the phone. And I was so devastated, I said, I don't know how I could give class tonight. When I heard what's going on, I devastated. I went to sleep for 10 minutes. I said, I can't face class after you visit someone who's ill. And sometimes it's just a phone visit. But you have to be all perky and happy and you have to shine optimism. And you talk to the person and you swallow your tears and you swallow your fears. And everything's great. But when you walk out of that room, suddenly you fall apart. So Chazal looked at this mitzvah and said, should a person do it on Shabbos? It's a big mitzvah. It has a great impact. But the guy who's doing the Bikur Cholim, how does his Shabbos look like when he's done? Nichum Aveilim, same thing. Comforting a person after a loss, you come, you sit with the guy, and it's a big mitzvah. A person very often doesn't know how to deal with it. He doesn't know how to take his mind off of it. He doesn't know how to rectify the concept there's a God, but then why is there suffering in the world? And all your answers, he knows that, but it doesn't work suddenly. His feelings overtake any thought he's had before. And when he sits and he has someone to talk to listen to him, to comfort him, after a time he could come to terms with his loss. So the recipient of Nichum Aveilim, to him it's a huge favor. But if you walk to a guy and you sit with him when he's suffering, when you walk away, you take some of that burden with you. When you walk away less happy. Suddenly your Shabbos is gone. You don't feel like having anything sweet on Shabbos. You don't feel like having anything on Shabbos. Your Shabbos is dead. You took some of his mourning with you. So Chazal looked at this situation and said, we have no choice. That's what the Gemara calls Bekoshi Hitiru. With great difficulty, our sages permitted us to go and comfort people after a loss and visit those that are ill on Shabbos. Meaning, Chazal didn't want to permit it because they realized that They were destroying people's Shabbosos. It would be much better for people to do their Nichum Avelim on a weekday. Do the Bikur Cholim on a weekday. But the guy might need you on Shabbos. So Bekoshi Hetiru. Although it was difficult, our sages permitted it. On Shabbos, they permitted us to do Nichum Avelim and Bikur Cholim. And in a minute, we'll see how. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, Ki avazlinan batreid Rabbi Eliezer l'shiyulei b'tficha. When I would follow Rabbi Eliezer to visit the sick. And that's an important point. Our sages themselves would do Bikur Cholim. This was the job of the rabbi. Rabbi Akiva Eiger used to begin his morning in the hospital wards, visiting the sick. I saw my rabbeim going to hospitals to visit their congregants who were in the hospital. People sometimes stay away from the hospital. Yeah, there are diseases in the hospital. There's good reason to be concerned going into a hospital. But that's our job, to visit someone if he's ill. Assuming there isn't something that's contagious as far as we know, if he's not in quarantine. So, you see, Rabbi Eliezer took from his time and went and visited sick people. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana followed his Rebbe when he'd go to visit the sick. Zimnin amarle. Sometimes he said to him, "Hamakom yifkodcha leshalom." God should take an accounting of you; should remember you in peace. V'zimni namale. And sometimes he tell him in Aramaic, "Rachmana yidkerinach lishlam." God should remember you for peace. Now the Gemara opens up an interesting sugya. Heichi avid hachi. How did he pray in Aramaic? Now before we continue, you see that. To the Gemara, it was obvious he was praying. The Rama in Shulchan Aruch, we have a siman in Shulchan Aruch about Bikur Cholim. By the way, that's where it's discussed in Halacha, how you change a name. In the laws of Bikur Cholim, so one of the things it says is if a person's ill, so it's useful to change a name. So that's where the Halacha discusses it. So coming back to here, the Rama in the laws of Bikur Cholim writes that a person has not fulfilled his obligation of Bikur Cholim if he hasn't prayed for the person. You visit someone who's sick, you got to offer a prayer. So sometimes it's a good wish, like he did here. God should take good care of you. You should have a refuah shalema. That's called praying for the sick. So the Gemara asks, how did he say it in Aramaic? V'amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda taught, L'olam al yishal adam tzachav b'lshon arami. A person should never make his requests in Aramaic. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan taught, Kol ha-shoel tzachav b'lshon arami, in malachei hasharet nizkakin lo. Whoever makes request in Aramaic, well, the angels, they don't deal with him. Angels deal with him? Wow, Pandora's box was just opened. She'en malachei hasharet mikirin b'lshon arami. Because the angels, they don't recognize Aramaic. So the Gemara has an answer, but first we have to understand the Gemara's question. So number one, we see here the Gemara says, don't pray in Aramaic. Why? Because the angels don't deal in Aramaic. Really? Tosos right away asks, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Sota, what you just gave away 10 minutes ago in our previous class, that the angel Gabriel, came to jail and taught Yosef all 70 languages. So you see, the angels talk all 70 languages. So then what does that mean they don't recognize Aramaic? And anyway, says Tosfos, they know what we're thinking, so they don't understand Aramaic. So Tosfos doesn't answer. The Rosh answers. The Rosh says, of course they understand Aramaic, but they don't like it. It's a language that they don't like. They don't want to deal with it. For some reason, they find Aramaic to be a disgraceful language. They don't deal. Okay, so then we come to question number two. Who cares? What do I need angels for? I'm talking to God. So they won't deal with my prayer. No. So this is a big sugiya. The sugiya begins with the prayer of Machnisei Rachamim. Really, the sugiya begins with the story of Yaakov. Yaakov blesses Menashe and Ephraim. What does he tell them? Hamalach ha-goel oti mikol ra, the angel that rescues me from all ill, he should bless the kids. Really, the angel should bless the kids? Why doesn't God bless the kids? You ask an angel to bless the kids? Okay. Now there's a prayer that goes back to the period of the Gaonim. Many people say it in the beginning of, in the Slichos, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and a little earlier. You know the tune probably. Machni say Rachamim. Okay. It's a prayer that speaks to the angels who are responsible to bring in mercy before God. They should take my prayer in before God. Well, if one of the 13 principles are that we don't need any intermediary with God, what are we doing talking to these angels? So, there are different answers offered. One answer that's offered is that God works with systems. I don't need the angel. I could talk to God. But at the end of the day, just as we discussed last week, that when God affects the world, He does it through a system, through, call it nature, through angels, there's a system. By the same token, when we offer prayer, there's this system. And within that system, an angel can root for you, or an angel can say, I don't know, this is what he said, and he says nothing. A famous story, a person who's illiterate, he gets a letter from his son, and the kid went to university, he's educated, he sends a letter to dad, and at the end of the letter, he writes, and dad, I have no money, send me money. So, the guy goes to his neighbor and he says, look, I can't read. Could you tell me what my son wrote? So he reads the letter and then he finishes the letter and he says, now, your son has a really audacious request here. And then he says, dad, I have no money. Send me money. So the guy says, that bum. That's the way he talks to his father? Forget it. I'm not giving him a dime. Forget it. Takes the letter back and walks out. Okay, a week later, he goes knocking by the neighbor. The neighbor's not home. He goes to the other side, goes to the other neighbor. He says, could you read me the letter? I'm trying to remember a few things my son wrote to tell my wife. So the guy reads the letter patiently. And then he reaches the last line. He says, oh, your poor son. He's stuck there, far out there, and he's hit hard times. He says, dad, could you please, dad, send me money. So the guy says, but my poor kid, that's what he wrote? I didn't realize that. Of course I'll send the money. So it's all an intonation, right? Dad, I have no money, send me money. Or dad, I have no money, send me money. How does he say it? Well, it doesn't say in the letter. One neighbor reads it this way, one neighbor reads it that way. And the poor guy, he thinks it's all written there, right? When the angels bring our prayer before God, so that's part of the heavenly system. I don't need them. I could talk to God. But if they choose to take my side, so then they're like that neighbor. They can move things forward. The Talmud tells us, it's based on verses, that at one point God was upset at Jerusalem. So he told the angel to take coals and throw them on Jerusalem. So the angel is standing there thinking, what do I do? I can't not listen. But at the end of the story, he takes the coals and he handles them in a way that they'll cool off before he throws them on Jerusalem. So in heaven, they got very upset at him. We told you to do something, either don't do it or do it right. What are you playing games for? But you see, angels have this leeway within the system where they can affect things. God tells the earth to produce trees that have flavor, and the earth does that with one tree. So there's a realm where the angels are given some kind of control. So when we say within this system, we speak to angels, the idea is they could root for us. You see, the angel Gabriel, his job is to root for us in heaven. Michael roots for us in heaven. There are angels, that's their job. And they have to find a way to do it right. If we say our prayer in a language that they're not interested in dealing, so the prayer goes up. We don't need any angels. But we lost that benefit. It's not that your prayer won't be accepted. Might, maybe yeah, maybe no. But you lost one aspect of in heaven having them root for you. So that's one interpretation as to what's going on here.
So if they don't like Aramaic, what do they think of English?
I think any language but Aramaic is okay. I think that's what the halacha says. I think so.
Like, really? Like,
Right? Arabic seems fine.
Okay, so if there's 70 languages at the time they were teaching them, Yiddish wouldn't have been one of them, would it?
That's an interesting question. It seems like there's something wrong with Aramaic. Meaning there's something wrong with that language.
I'm just saying,
but remember, Tosfos says they know what you're thinking. Obviously, they speak your language.
It's not a kalvachomer like Aramaic. It's the closest thing to Hebrew, and it's not acceptable, so therefore,
no.
Nothing else.
Some want to say along what you're saying. I think there's a Rambam that writes that Aramaic is warped version of Hebrew. That's why they don't like it. Because it's not a real language. So then what would they say about Ladino or Yiddish? I don't know. Answers the Gemara. So then how did he pray in Aramaic? Shani chole de shchinai mo. Ah, by a sick person, it's different. God's presence is with the sick person. So this is a very important point. Famous story. A guy was in the oncology unit in NYU, and he could barely move. And Rabbi Schachter came to visit him. And the guy says, Rabbi, how do I make it out to Minyan? So when Rabbi Schachter tells the story, he cries. He says, God's with you right here. What do you need to go to Minyan for? That's the concept we're going to pick up with Be'ezrat Hashem next week. The idea that when a person is ill, the Shechina is with him. God's presence is with him. As we will see as the Gemara goes on, Hashem is there rooting for the guy, helping the guy, supporting him till his last breath. So that's Hashem Yisadenu. Hashem supports a person. When a person needs it, Hashem is with him. So what we learned today? We learned that comforting those that are mourning or visiting the sick is permissible. Even though it's difficult, it's permissible on Shabbos. We learned that we don't pray in Aramaic. You could pray in any other language, but not Aramaic. And we had this whole discussion about why does the Talmud sometimes discuss angels in prayer? They're not that necessary, but they are useful. And we concluded with this idea that God's presence is with those that are ill, Hashem is with them.